Well, bless you, beautiful hearts. Today is Sunday, January 17th, 2021. This morning, I want to share with you on Christ in you, the hope of glory. If we really desire to walk with God and evidence the greatness of God in Christ in us, there are two great truths we must believe and understand. One, that God is spirit. Two, that man is flesh. Spirit has no form or comeliness. God doesn't look like man, whatever you imagine God looks like. It is wrong. In Genesis 1:26, it does not say, "Let us make God in the image of man." It says, "Let us make man in our image," and God is spirit. So, what was his plan for man? Logically, to be spirit. The word image in Genesis 1:26 means resemblance or even phantom, sometimes translated. Man is flesh. That is why he has difficulty receiving the things of God. The man of the flesh is governed by his senses, his nature, characteristics of the flesh. He is led of his own appetites, passions, and he lives in harmony with his corrupt desires and affections. He does not harmonize with God. The same Spirit of God that was in Christ is in us. Remember in Acts chapter 11, how concerned those of the circumcision at Jerusalem were when they heard that the Gentiles received the gift of Holy Spirit. And then when Peter got back there, he was kind of called on the carpet. And when Peter was come to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. The word contended means they disputed. Those in Jerusalem did not believe his report, and actually they flat out rejected it. They didn't want it to be so. Let's look at Acts chapter 10, and we'll begin in verse 4. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." That's when Peter went to the household of Cornelius and saw Cornelius and let him know. And then the angel said in verse 5, "And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter." Verse 20, "Arise therefore and get thee down." And this is what the angel God told to Peter. "Therefore get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then in verse 21, God told Peter not to doubt, but go with them to the household of Cornelius. That he, God, was sending Peter to the household of Cornelius. Verse 21, "Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come?" Then in verse 17 of Acts 11, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" So whose will was Peter doing?
God's.
Yeah. And it says, verse 17 said, gave them the like gift. The word like is the word isos. It means equal in every way, like an equilateral triangle. All the degrees that each line is equal. The degree between the lines of the triangle is exactly the same. And all the length of each one has to be exactly the same. It's the exact same. And it was the exact same gift of Holy Spirit that the 12 had received on the day of Pentecost. It was not lacking in any way. the same amount as Jesus had in him that made Jesus able to do always those things that please God. Many times when we're going to make a purchase, we read what other people have to say about the product because we want the product to be as advertised. Did it work like it was supposed to? Let's read Peter's testimony for Acts from Acts 11:17. Acts 11:17, it says, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" It was the exact same thing, the exact same amount. Peter checked their request against the revelation he received from God, and it pleased him. It means that it was equal to what God wanted. It was in agreement with what God wanted. And we also can evermore please God, do those things that are equal and in agreement with God, with the same gift in us, and all those who confess Jesus as Lord and believe in their hearts that God raised him from the dead. Who is it to? And who is this gift for? Well, Acts chapter 2, verse 39 tells us, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." What else does the scripture have to say about this wonderful gift? Well, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." The word "may" means to present, and "warning" means to cause to stand. Like the columns in a temple, they line up perfectly. If you ever looked at, like, the Colosseum in Rome, if you look straight at the pillars, they are absolutely perfectly in line one with another. And the first pillar represents Christ, who is the chief cornerstone. And everything else is built off of that, and it all lines up. This way, every column stays erect and true. Why is every column lining up off of Christ so important, great, and perfect? Because it supplies a great meaning place for all who are called to gather to come in. Then in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "For in Christ, in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him." That is why we know it will stand evermore and be pleasing, agreeable, no matter which angle you look at it. The first thing, the pillar you see, is Christ, and then everything lines up perfectly off of that. And in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." The word "fullness of time" means it was not a minute too soon, and it certainly wasn't a second too late. It's precisely right on the button, perfect timing, a period of time, a fixed chronos, was come and had arrived. See how perfectly God's plan is executed. No matter how big the group that would be attending, no matter how many there were, it was perfect, the dimensions, everything to fit, and there was room for everybody, so nobody gets left out. It's perfectly fitting for whatever the size of the group is, with God at the center. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was put by God upon certain people to empower them for service, but under the new covenant, the anointing was not permanent. Under the old covenant, The anointing was not a permanent, so people could lose that anointing, lose that position, lose that service he was to supply. But in the new covenant, it is permanent. It's an anointing, and it is permanent. Believers have a different experience as the Spirit is created within them. So it cannot be lost. It just becomes a very part of you. Then when it comes to the hope of glory, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I cannot think of a more appropriate place in the Scriptures than the record of Jesus' transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain," verse 2, "and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light." Christ's appearance was transformed and resplendent with divine brightness on the mount. This is also is our hope, in that we will be resplendent, reflecting the light of God. Verse 3, "And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him." Verse 4, "Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Verse 5, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." And the Scriptures tells us, Jesus said very often, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you for how long? Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." That's right. That means the Spirit of truth dwells in us permanently. It lasts forever. John 14:11 says, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." The same Spirit that was in Jesus Christ is in us. The same Spirit that God anointed Jesus, who is the Christ, the Anointed One, is in us. And it is God in Christ in us, and it is permanent. Remember, 2 Corinthians 5:19 tells us, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." So if God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and Christ is in us, then God must be in Christ and then in us, and we have the great ability to reconcile the world back to God. Verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, had shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10 tells us, "When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe, because of our testimony among you was believed in that day." At Christ's second coming, we will surely be a marvel. But according to this verse, the most marvelous thing will not be the outward display of his coming. It will be God's glory revealed from within us. The Christ in us, who lives in us, is being formed in us, will be revealed from within, showing outwardly, and even our new spiritual bodies will be transformed to match Christ's glorious body, be similar to on the Mount of Transfiguration, where it's just so filled with light. What a glory to God, a marvel to man, and a shame to the devil that people on this earth would choose to receive Christ and allow him to grow in them and express through them throughout all of their lives. And I wanted to share this great record of the Battle Hymn of the Republic, the lyrics to it, because they're just such tremendous words. And it was written in 1516. Originally, it was a camp song, and it was written by Julia Ward Howe, a wife of a government official. She wrote a poem for the Atlantic Monthly for a contest where she won $5. And the second stanza goes, "I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on." Then that stunning third stanza, it says, or they sing, "In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigured you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free." While God is marching on, then the chorus is, "Glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on." Then I wanted to read you this great verse in 1 Corinthians 15:28. It says, "And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son himself also be subject unto him that put all things under him." The purpose is that God may be all in all. He fills all completely in all of us. Well, God bless you. Happy New Year. We got a great, wonderful start into the 2021 going forward, awaiting Christ's return. So,